You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One. This week, the MMA media matchmaking crowns return following a weird and wacky and strange UFC Vegas 65 event. Derek Lewis and Sergey Spivak did not do the damn thing. In fact, they did not do anything. They did not fight each other at all. We ended up getting a new main event, a couple of fights before the main card was set to begin. And I'll just say, this probably won't be a very long show because there weren't many journeys to take here, but we'll give our picks. We'll take some of yours and we will do the darn thing for the last time in the month of November. I am Mike Heck, and joining me in this venture, the Prince of Positivity, the best friend, the co-host, the co-matchmaker. He just does it all. Mr. Alexander K. Lee. Hello, AK.
Hello, my best friend. Yeah, somehow on a night that also had Misfit Boxing 3. I can't even say the full name. It's like Misfits versus, it's like Misfit versus DAZN X Series 003, something like that. Somehow the UFC card was stranger than that. It was stranger than that influencer boxing event, which I want to talk about a little bit because I did have to cover it. I mean, this event was main evented by Dean the Great versus Waleed Sharks. Pretty sure not the real name of both, not the, you know, government name of both men. Greg Hardy, of course, beating Haseem Rahman Jr. pretty convincingly too. Not the greatest showing for Haseem Rahman Jr., the son of a two-time heavyweight champion. I think he may have dodged a bullet not taking that Jake Paul fight now, to be honest, after seeing Rahman's somewhat poor performance. Though, if anyone watched, Greg Hardy was way, way, way bigger than him, almost 100 pounds, 94 pounds bigger. So it looked like a freak show fight, which is, again, on this kind of card is exactly what it was. Someone named FaZe Temper knocking out Overt Flow in 30 seconds with one punch. Mike, I'm sure that whole sentence made sense to you. I know you're a big esports guy. You love FaZe Clan. You're wearing people can't see, you're wearing a FaZe Clan hoodie right now.
I am.
You love FaZe Clan. So anyway, he represented FaZe Clan very well. So I'm very sad. There was supposed to be a women's boxing match involving six AR6 IE6, or apparently that's Barbie 36. I had to look this up. I had to turn the safe search off to find out who this person was. That bout was canceled for legal problems with Barbie 36, apparently. And Nick Knack Paddywhack fought. Are you familiar with Nick Knack Paddywhack?
Doesn't he give a dog a bone or something?
That would be a great gimmick. No, he's a heavyweight man. I found he's the oh no baby, what is you doing guy. You know the oh no baby, what is you doing meme? You
ever seen that? Oh, okay. Wasn't this old man who played one?
Played you are losing thumb. You are losing so many of our audience right now. I'm trying to bring in the hip cool audience talking about.
We're not hitting that AEW demo, are we? AK?
We're not hitting the AEW demo. Nick Knack Paddywhack versus Minicon. Which ended in a disqualification due to holding. So that was great. On Nick Knack Paddywhack lost. Anyway, so I run that all down again just to say, again, somehow the UFC card was stranger. Losing its main event, Waldo Cortez Acosta, Chase Sherman kind of becoming the de facto penultimate fight on the card. What else was weird here? It just felt
the flyweight fight had 800 fouls and none of them led to any point deductions.
Not one point deduction from Mr. Keith No Nonsense Peterson. Not one point deducted. I mean, again, listen, I don't envy him having to officiate that fight. Like I said, it was bizarre, but it was strange, even more bizarre not to see a point taken away. Ricky Tercios just being Ricky Tercios. I mean, any card he's on is gonna have a little bit of weirdness on it. Two spinning kick knockouts.
Yeah,
I mean, this was on paper, this was a strange card. Then it lost the main event and all this stuff happened. And it turned into a truly, truly strange evening. So for anyone who like watched both events that night, it was just like Twilight Zone stuff.
Yes. First off, do we go right back to Derek Lewis, Sergey Spivak? Do we have that headline, maybe one of the February Apex cards with how the schedule is playing out? Or does Sergey Spivak just lose himself a fight with Derek Lewis with all of this?
If you're Spivak, you want that fight back for sure. But Derek Lewis has such a big name, like such an established name that like he doesn't have to take that fight again if another good option comes along. The UFC matchmakers look at him as someone who, again, can headline fight nights against anybody, whether it's Sergey Spivak against another veteran. Like they may decide to go over that route instead. If I'm the matchmakers, my first thought, just put this one back together. It's really only fair to Sergey, but I do feel a little bit bad for the polar bear. I do feel like there's a chance we just don't see this made again in 2023.
They're going to be like, hey, polar bear, do we have something for you? How about you fight this guy, Alexander Romanov, instead? And it's just so much more fun. Fits your style perfectly.
Are you familiar with that Jailson Almeida? Because we think that you guys would be a great matchup. Oh, that would be.
I mean, you weigh more than him. You're on a nice streak. I mean, how about that? Now, if I'm him, they'll probably go back to this one because they're going to have to fill a spot probably in February. And why not that fight, AK? Why not that fight? But that was not the main event on Saturday. The main event ended up being Kennedy Enzechukwu stopping Iwan Kutalaba. And Enzechukwu, the Fortis MMA standout, he's a very solid hand at 205. He gets it done in round two. And I just, we have put out this credo with MMAfighting.com, do the thing. And if there's one person I don't want to see do the thing, like we want other fighters to do the thing, it's Kennedy Enzechukwu, because he's just not that guy. My favorite thing of this entire card was after the knockout, Michael Bisping does the post-fight interview, thanks everybody on the UFC staff. I mean, everybody from the janitors all the way up to Dana White. And then when he was asked, what do you want next? Do you have a name in mind? And he said, and I quote, whatever the UFC gives me, I will take it and I will cherish it forever. Amazing. What would you like to see for Kennedy Enzechukwu, who is slowly becoming one of my favorite fighters on the roster?
Oh, that's perfect, Mike, because he's going to cherish forever the matchup I've given him. One, Mr. Ed Herman, short fuse. You queued this up well, because I kind of just picked this as like a, not a jokey fight, but I'm trying to find some sort of veteran test for him. And the thought of him cherishing a matchup with Ed Herman forever now just makes me laugh. But yeah, I like the idea of it. There's just so many directions you can go with Enzechukwu. Again, he's not, you know, him and Iwan Kutalaba weren't supposed to be in the main event. So, you know, hats off to both guys for stepping up, I guess, as it were. Not that anything really changed for them. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to, it sucks that, you know, a lot of people are kind of going to laugh at when they look back on this card, like, oh, I can't believe Enzechukwu and Kutalaba, you know, main evented. And again, it's not making fun of them. It's sort of just making fun of, you know, these kind of cards that are put together without much of a contingency if the main event falls through, which is what happened. So I like a matchup. I just want to still kind of want to see him test it. I think it's a winnable fight. I want to see him rack up a few more wins in a row. He's a talented guy. He's a finisher, which is great. UFC loves that. But you know, he's kind of a two steps forward, one step back guy. So he's gradually moving up the rankings, but I want to see him get like 3, 4, 5 wins in a row before we start talking about like, oh, well, he should fight a top 10 guy. I don't think Kennedy's there yet, even in the relatively thin light heavyweight division. So let's see what's up with Ed Herman, the longest tenured UFC fighter, I think, according to his, I was looking at him like, yeah, he's been around for 17 years and he's now like promoting himself as the longest contracted UFC fighter. And that's a nice gimmick. So whenever he's ready to fight again, let's put him in there with Kennedy.
This was kind of tough because you could go so many different places here, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's not a ranked guy, at least not in the MMA fighting global rankings. But I feel like this is the right fight to make, and I don't feel like this guy's going to take 500 plus more days off before he gets back in there, even though he's just brutally knocked out by Kennedy and Cichuku's teammate. It's Dominic Reyes, AK. That's the one. Because if Dominic, and I mean this, because Kennedy, you're my boy. You're my boy, dude. You're my boy. If Dominic Reyes can't beat Kennedy and Cichuku, he's done. We know for sure there is no coming back from this. He needs to find a different career. Fighting will no longer be for Dominic Reyes. Dominic Reyes should beat Kennedy and Cichuku. But even the way, even saying it out loud, there's a chance he could lose to Kennedy and Cichuku. But I need to know, because I don't want to play this game with Dominic. Is he fighting? Is he not fighting? I don't want to feel completely horrified by a matchup. And I don't think this one completely horrifies me. Could it end with Kennedy knocking out Dominic Reyes, a TKO or something? Sure. But at least we will have our answer. At least we will have official closure. And we will know after that fight whether or not Dominic Reyes is a UFC caliber fighter anymore. So I'm going with that. I think Kennedy deserves the opportunity. At least in our rankings, he's not fighting a ranked guy. And I think the graduation from an Iwan Kutalaba to a Dominic Reyes, especially now, is not that big of a step up, AK. It's just not. So that's what I'm going with. A little bit different ends than you're going. Although if they do him and Ed Herman, I'm sure he would cherish fighting the longest tenured UFC fighter currently. But I have questions, and I feel like Kennedy can give us the answers we're looking for.
Yeah, I think for anyone who's thinking like, oh, like Kennedy, give after that last Dominic Reyes performance, like, can we not give Dominic Reyes like a big step back at light heavyweight? And I mean, technically Kennedy would be, at least in my rankings. I'm not sure how high people put him after beating Iwan Kutalaba, but I have him 26th in a division that's about 40 of the UFC light heavyweight roster. It's about 40 guys, give or take, depends who you're counting as active and you know, some people on uncertain contract situations. So about 40 people. So 26 out of 40. So not super high. He's in a cluster with like Mazmur Zakhanov, Christian, a couple of guys who have beaten him, Don Jung, Nico Nogamirianu. So it's like, you know, you can put him anywhere 20 to 26. He's in that cluster somewhere. So yeah, he is kind of the logical step back. If you're looking for a step back for Reyes, but someone who's not just like a contender series debutante or just someone who's on like a three, you know, a similar losing streak, if there is anyone, Alexander Gustafsson, I guess. But no, if you're looking for an actual test, Mike, like you're looking for, yeah, like someone who's going to tell us how much Dominic Reyes has left in the tank. Yeah, Kennedy's not a bad option. I think Kennedy would be a huge favorite going in. I'm talking like minus 250, probably might get even higher come fight night. You might have a lot of money moving in his direction. But yeah, if that's the case and that's how the fight goes, then you're right. That's might be it for the Dominic Reyes era.
The second to last fight on the card saw Waldo Cortez Acosta defeat Chase Sherman via unanimous decision, and WCA wants to fight December 10th. And I don't think that happens unless, and I don't even know if there's a heavyweight fight on the card. So I don't even, I wrote up the updated lineup for UFC 282. There's 15 fights in the card. So there's not going to throw him in there. I don't even remember there being a heavyweight fight on the slate, and I could be wrong. So he's not going to get that. I would say, let's wait. Let's get something in front of a crowd. Maybe we do something in March and we do WCA versus Chris Barnett. That's just so much fun. Two guys just throwing hams at each other. That's fine. I mean, that's what I want to see. And that I would, if Chase Sherman had won, I would have gone the same direction for Chase.
Beast Boy versus Salsa Boy.
Yes. Oh God. Yes. Yes. Writes itself. Poster.
I think I didn't pick Chris Barnett. I probably, because the last time Barnett fought, I think whatever matchup I select for him might still be alive. I'm not sure. I have to look that up. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I don't know what we have with Cortez Acosta yet. He should be able to finish Chase Sherman. he should be able to finish it. And Chase Sherman is tough. He's been some wars, don't get me wrong, but he's also has quite a few memorable knockout losses. Who was the first win for Cortez Acosta? Vendera, right?
Jared Vendera. And he couldn't finish Jared Vendera.
And he couldn't finish Jared Vendera either. It didn't bother me as much. I was like, okay, it's his first fight. Maybe he's playing it a little safe. It got a little goofy by the end. Both guys were salsa dancing. So whatever, that was fun in its own way. But Sherman, I'm like, okay, well, this is where the first fight jitters are out of the way. He should put this guy away. And he kind of dominated the fight too. So again, I don't know if it's just, you know, he doesn't want to get caught by something dumb from one of these hard hitting heavyweights. Totally understandable. He's walking out with the W anyway, getting that winner's check. But I do want to see him get a finish. Unfortunately, oddly, Mike, I did not pick a matchup where he's likely to get a finish. I want to see him fight Tanner Boser. Ooh, this is probably like more that. It's again, listen, this could be an unappeal. This isn't like a banger. Both guys have pretty like use a lot of movement. So it could be a lot of dancing in there. It could be a lot of dancing. This could be a disaster of a matchup on paper. But it's more of, I want to see how good Cortez Acosta is. Because I know he's better than guys like Jared Vendera and Chase Sherman. Respectable veterans, nothing against them. He's a much more skilled striker than they are. I get it. He beats those guys 9 times out of 10. Bozer's tricky. And I want to see what we have with Cortez Acosta. Is he just like kind of a fun, you know, active technical striker who can take out, you know, the lower tiers of the heavyweight division? Or, you know, can I kind of boost him above the middle of the pack? If he beats Bozer, I would kind of boost him above the middle of the pack. So I want to know. So sorry, everyone. I did not pick a not as fun as a Chris Barnett matchup, but maybe we have something here with Cortez Acosta as far as like actually rankings and contendership goes.
Yeah, I like that one. It's two guys who can strike fighting another guy who can strike. So that'll be fun. How about Muslim Salikov, AK? The fight went exactly the way I thought it was going to go. If Salikov could just weather that Fialho first round storm, he's gonna win. He's probably gonna finish. Tough first round. I picked second round TKO. I was so damn close, but Salikov doesn't get blown out of the water in the first, even though Fialho had some success. He comes back 10-8 Fialho in the second, stops him in the third. Fialho just took a vicious beating in this fight, and I thought referee Chris Tione stepped in and really saved Fialho from himself. This is a great stoppage. That spinning back kick to the face was so brutal because he just kept landing it to the body. And then poor Fialho was like, oh, he's going to get me in the body again. And then he took one right upside the head. And you saw like his whole world change just looking at him facially. Everything just shifted in his entire being. And great stoppage from Chris Tione. So yeah. Very solid win.
It reminded me of the second Chandler-Will Brooks fight where like Will Brooks just like rocks Chandler at the end and Chandler's like calling for a timeout or something, or he just looks like he doesn't know what's going on. The referee had to step in. This was the same thing. He got hit and Fialho definitely did not know where he was. Like that's the brain rattling right there. I mean, it sounds horrible to say, but that is a brain rattling. You could have waved it off there, follow-up strikes, whatever. That was scary. That was scary to see how he reacted to that kick. He did not know how to defend himself in that moment, or even, I think, what like fighting was. It was disturbing.
Yes, it was a very solid win for the King of Kung Fu. He retains his crown. What do you think, AK? What do we do now?
I think I'm sticking with him in the veteran ranks. I just don't know if, like, I'm coming off as ageist on some of these shows. I admit, even my predictions, I predicted Salikov to lose. So I do keep saying stuff like, oh, someone's like too old to, you know, kind of be a contender, which is, you know, we know is not true. And Salikov's in great shape and a great fighter, has the skills probably to compete for another 5-6 years. But I don't feel particularly inclined to move him up after that fight. So he's staying around the same realm. Nicholas Dalby, Worley Alves, they're fighting UFC 283, January 21st. Time frame works about right. I'd love to see him and Dalby throw down. Alves would be a different kind of matchup for sure, but would be interesting as well. So nothing rankings-wise here, but just what I think would be a fun and it would be a good main card matchup, I think, either on pay-per-view or fight night.
This is actually pretty easy for me. He's not going to be fighting a young man. He's going to fight a guy who's like 2 years younger than him. But a guy's just, it's just a super fun, compelling matchup. Two warriors, King of Kung Fu versus Daniel Rodriguez, AK. Lock it up. Let's just have these guys get in there and have themselves a scrap. Because there's no way that's not fun. There's just no way. So let's do that.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury. Not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Speaking of the welterweights, JDM, Jack Della Maddalena, absolutely styles and trucks Danny Roberts. Exactly how the UFC matchmaker saw that fight going, and now more than likely he'll be on to UFC 284 in Perth, Western Australia. The question is, who does he fight, AK? My answer, we give him, I know a lot of people are like, let's give him a top 10 guy. No, we're not going to do that because we need to give him a step up. But we need to give him a fight that he's going to be tested, but he's going to get a nice reaction. We want to make him look like a star in Perth, but we can't give him a layup fight. So I settled on Alex Morono. I think it's a good test, a guy who will get right in JDM's face. He will not be intimidated. I have Morono ranked number 22 in this division. So I think this is a very good, solid test. What do you think?
Play the music.
Oh, wait a minute. 3, 2, 1.
Friends forever.
You picked Alex Morono. I love it.
I picked Alex Morono. And you have him at 20. Are you also keeping an extended ranking, sir?
I'm trying. Okay. I try to get it to like 25. Some are 30. If we're doing women's bantamweight, it's like 14.
I should send you my list, and then you can just kind of futz around with it and move some names around yourself. I have him 25. So yeah, right around the same spot. I imagine the names we have around are probably the same too. So
yeah,
it's a perfect matchup. Again, we want to see him tested, but not exposed, which is not to say a guy like Alex Morono can't beat him. But I think even if he lost to an Alex Morono, we'd be like, oh, okay, well, you know, here's a few, what he needs to shore up, or he got caught by, you know, a hard Morono punch. That could happen. Alex Morono's a good striker. But at the same time, yes, right for another first round knockout, or again, just a banger in front of the Perth crowd. So this is where this should go. I hope the UFC is thinking about that right away. It's super logical and has bonuses for JDM or both guys written all over it.
We go to the flyweight division. Charles Johnson gets his first UFC win. It was quote unquote a winner of a split decision against poor Zalgas Zumagulov, who that fight was just so weird. I even tweeted out afterwards, I feel like I'm 2 years older after watching that fight. There are so many fouls. It's just so much tomfoolery. Keith Peterson, all the nonsense in 2022. I thought Zumagulov won that fight. It's not a fight I will ever go back and watch again. But apparently Zumagulov retired. I did reach out to his manager, said he wasn't sure if it was an actual retirement or just an emotional statement that was translated as somewhat of a retirement. But Here's two things I know. One, Zalga Zumagulov and Courtney Casey are just one and the same when it comes to split decisions. None of them can win a split decision. Whether we all think she won or he won or not, the judges will never score a fight for him. That's very, very close. And for Charles Johnson, you can just throw a dart. I landed on Carlos Candelario, somebody like that. I think that's a good, solid scrap. But do I see Charles Johnson? And he's an exciting guy. Had some good fight. Had a great fight with Brandon Royval. Charles Johnson is not a guy I see can even having a number next to his name as a UFC fighter. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I had nowhere to go. I had no idea where to go. I landed on CJ Vergara. My first instinct was like Jake Hadley in London. I'm like, oh wait, we already kind of did that to Charles Johnson. We did the Makhachev. I'm like, let's not make him do this again. Let's not make him the London job boy, you know, for no reason. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. I'm sure as long as the UFC kept sending paychecks and you know, paying for his flight to London, he'd be okay with it. But I don't see why we should put him through that. So, Charles Johnson, tough, greedy guy. Let's keep him. Let's let him develop at his own pace. You know, he's how many pro fights is this for him? He's not like a super young guy, but yeah, 15 pro fights. He's in the middle. He's in the middle of a career here. Early stages, 6 years as a pro. Yeah. There's no reason to rush him. And look, let's be real fair here, Mike. With respect to Charles Johnson and Zalga Zumagulov, we wouldn't even be talking about this fight, at least from a matchmaking perspective, if it had been bumped up to the main card from the main event being lost.
Yeah, we'd be talking about it just being weird, and yes, that's it. I don't think either of these guys would be the wild card selection, which, perfect segue, let's do our wild card selection. We will select one fighter we're not match made for yet. Could be anybody from Iwan Kuchalaba all the way down to, say, Teresa Bleda. Who knows? Could be anybody, AK. Could be anybody. Who did you go with?
I want to think we picked the same person. I hope so. Because there's only one man who exemplifies... He's the living wild card himself, Ricky Tercios. Okay. I had to go with Ricky Tercios. I'd been saying on the pre-show... I really was putting my reputation on the line because on the preview show... I was talking Ricky up a lot. His fight with Ayman Zahabi was like memorable, probably for the wrong reasons. I think it was producer Casey who presented the statistic. He landed in that fight something like 20 something strikes out of like 230 strikes attempted.
11%.
11%. Not great. And I applauded him for his efforts for just being able to throw that many strikes when you're not having success. I was like, that's more impressive to me than landing, because if you're landing, oh, of course you're going to keep striking. Imagine missing that much and still having that kind of heart. So he got to show off more of his game this time. Some really fun scrambles with Kevin Natividad. I thought this fight had a lot of potential to be exciting. It was. Did not get a fight of the night. They went with 4 performance bonuses, which is fine, you know. But I wish Ricky Tercios and Kevin Natividad had gotten an extra $50,000 anyway. At the very least, I hope this keeps Kevin Natividad on the UFC. He's 0-3 now, but listen, you win fight of the night. It used to be a guarantee that you would get one more fight. Not sure if that's the case anymore. But for Ricky Tercios, again, a lot of directions you go. I said, let's get a little weird here. Let's go with Guido Canetti, the ageless ninja. He's up there in age, but again, fun grappler. You can see some fun scrambles. I want to know if Tercios is just like, you know, unbridled enthusiasm and energy is enough to overcome sort of the technique and experience of Guido. A lot of ways you go, Ricky, but I settled on a fellow Ultimate Fighter contestant, a veteran of the Ultimate Fighter Latin America. So, Mike, I don't know where you went.
I'm going with, in my opinion, the MVP of the entire card, Natalia Silva.
Ooh.
Natalia Silva, that knockout was ridiculous. It was just ridiculous. It was perfectly timed. Carissa Blade is like, I got to get a takedown here. And Natalia Silva's like, she's got to get a takedown here. And they both are thinking the same thing at the same time. And then a spinning back kick, like half of it hit her in the throat and half of it hit her in the jaw. Just bad news. And she was just donezo. And Silva goes in there and finishes her. And I have to say, I picked against Silva. I picked against her both her UFC fights for the same reason. For the same reason. She fought someone who was much bigger, much longer. I just felt like the size discrepancy was going to be too much. And Natalia Silva's like, Mike, you're an idiot. Stop picking against me. I'll beat any of these girls. So I think we got something here. I think we have something with her. She's won 8 in a row. She's looked great in her 2 octagon appearances. And I want to see how good she is. And I want to test her against somebody who's going to get in her face. Someone who's probably going to take her down a couple of times. And possibly give her a lot more trouble than Teresa Bleda did on the ground. So to me, my pick, Natalia Silva. Let's see what you got against Jillian Robertson. Oh, I like that fight. I'm going with that.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say, wait a minute, Natalia Silva... Oh, yes. Okay. I got my weight classes wrong. Okay. Okay. Yes. No. Yeah. Jillian Robertson. That's a big jump up.
Is it in this division?
I don't know. Jillian Robertson is such a weird, weird person to kind of gauge because she's fought, I want to say the most time, most or second most times in the 125 pound division. She's beaten some good names. She's also lost to like a kind of some, definitely some randos. She does kind of feel like a gatekeeper, right? And yeah, I guess that's what it's like. I guess that's what
She's probably a top 25-ish flyweight. Yeah. Somewhere in that. I think I have her at 26.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's a fine little step up. I mean, there's just not a ton of fighters in this division.
No.
I don't want to see her fight. I mean, maybe Antonina Shevchenko or something. I don't know. But I think Jillian Robinson's like a good test. Like, I want to see what we have with her. And I just feel like Silva's so ruthless in there. And I think this would be a good fight for Jillian too, because a lot of the questions I have about Jillian, I think Silva will present those types of problems towards her about, you know, getting cracked, how you're going to deal with it. If you can't get her out of there in the first round, like how you going to deal with the aftermath of that. So yeah, I think this is about as good as we can get. I don't want to jump her too high, but I feel like this is the right step up. I feel like we got to give her something. We gave her Jazz DeVizius. We gave her a debuting fighter, a 20-year-old. No, we don't need to throw her against a ranked fighter, but I think this is a good little step up. Good little jump up. This is exactly where we need to go.
This might be the first On to the Next One we've ever done, Mike, where we didn't matchmake any of the winners or wild cards or whatever with an actual like top 15 ranked opponent.
Yeah.
Or even like close.
Is Dominic Reyes ranked in the UFC rankings?
Oh, in the UFC rankings? I mean,
our rankings, no.
No, we gave him the boot. We had him at like, he was still hanging around like 9 or 10 or something. UFC rankings, he is 12th again.
Yeah, but it doesn't count. UFC rankings.
That doesn't count. That's the UFC ranks. They don't count. They don't have, undisputed number one light heavyweight Corey Anderson. Oh, I'm sorry. Too soon. Sorry. He did not take care of his. Oh, this is going to sound like I'm taking shots at Corey Anderson. But I mean, feels just, no, we have these like internal discussions about the light heavyweight division. One of them is like, man, could Corey Anderson have gone? Was he going to get more number one votes? He was actually number one on one of our panelist ballots heading into Bellator 288. And, I mean, a lot of us thought he was at least going to get a bump up, if not put him number one. He's got some great previous wins over, like, you know, Glover Teixeira, stuff like that, Jan Blachowicz. For anyone, I don't know how many people watch Bellator. Vadim Nemkov took care of business, man. He held on to his spot, and Corey Anderson will not be receiving any first place votes. Or if he does, I'm going to have a conversation with some people, but that will not be happening. Dominic Reyes, maybe, Mike, yeah, the only one that's even close to the top 15. But depending who you ask, I do wonder where Dominic Reyes like sits in the eyes of the fans now, because there's some people who are probably just like outside the top 20. Like, how can you even rank this guy anymore just because he hasn't won a fight or beaten a notable opponent in years now. So not to slam Dominic Reyes anymore. But yeah, there's just so many ways we could have gone with this, because this was a weird card.
Yeah.
This was a weird card, Mike. This was not a card where we thought it would have any shakeup in the rankings. After Derek Lewis and Spivak went off, the only fighter ranked in the MMA Fighting Global rankings was Jennifer Maya. She was number 11 going in. So, and she very likely probably will face a top 15 opponent next. But if it gives you, again, any idea of how like lightly we regarded this matchup with Marina Rose, neither of us picked Jennifer Maya as our wild card. So, you know, we leave that to the listeners, Mike.
I felt like from a betting perspective, that was the easiest money to be made on the.
That was crazy. Card. When Morose closes, what, like -190 or -200?
Yeah,
right?
almost a 2-to-1
that
favorite.
So disrespectful.
Yeah, Jennifer did exactly what I thought she was going to do. So, yeah. Good win for her. She's probably gonna have to fight like a Casey O'Neill or a Macy Barber next. But
yeah.
So I think with the UFC rankings, I think the only two fighter I picked two fighters who are currently ranked in the UFC rankings: D-Rod and D-Rod's number 15 at welterweight.
Okay.
It's not in our rankings, but do we have any extracurriculars, AK?
Let me just make a note here. I have not been as diligent keeping track of checking the tapes before, or, you know, specifically for Otno points. Like when people ask us questions, that's always fun. But when we first started the show, Mike, we were getting like a handful of submissions. It was a lot easier for me to keep track of everyone's picks. Now the show has exploded. I think you and I have both been getting offers to fight on the next Misfits card. I think we're influencers now. So, you know, we don't get that many, but certainly much, 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 much more than when we started the show. So it has been a bit harder for me to keep track of all the picks. So I will say, guys, if you want your Otno points, at least just nudge me, just remind me. I'll do my best to check if it was a unanimous pick or not. Usually I have pretty good memory. So and with that in mind, Hayes Bethard, I will give you a point, sir. I don't know how many people mentioned Dan Ige and Damon Jackson. Also wants to check the tapes for Jimmy Crute and Alonzo Menifield. I feel like that was a pretty popular pick. Either way, both these are group picks. You're the only one who nudged me and reminded me. So I haven't given one of these out in a while, but Hayes, you're also a very diligent matchmaker, and I haven't always gotten to all of your selections. So Hayes, take an Otno point. One full Otno point for Hayes Bethard.
I feel like I will be giving out an Otno point as well, AK. I got a nudge as well, but in the middle of the picks.
Okay.
So okay. I will go to that.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Do you want to disclaim, AK?
My only disclaimer is, and I saw this once, it was corrected, but I have a feeling some other people might trip upon this. Of course, again, guys, you know, if you're the only person to get a pick, that's a big fat Otno point your way. People, please watch out for wrong weight classes, people who have fought already. Put a two or three in there if you know they fought before, please. Notable injuries, you know, especially it was recently reported that someone's gonna be out for a year. It's like, why waste time? Releases, a bit harder to keep track of, you know, try to avoid those. And the worst one, most egregious, fighter could already book. There's just so many ways to check. Topology, SureDog, MMAfighting.com, of course. Pick the database or news site of your choice and just check if these people are booked. And teammates, I mentioned this last one because I think just in case anyone throws out, you know, Enzachuku, Alonzo Menifield, they are teammates, friends, that fight's not happening. He said Menifield helped. Didn't he say Menifield helped him? Wasn't he one of the people? Wasn't he one of the 900 people? I think it's hard to remember. He was one of, I think, 900 people he thanked, I believe.
Because Menifield, for his last fight, I think he left Fortis with Pat Barry. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he thanked him. I think he did thank him. Which doesn't mean they can't fight, but I am going to put the kibosh on that for now. I don't think that's happening anytime soon. And of course, guys, your picks might be doo-doo, and we don't want to read it. So please, no doo-doo. I already had to correct some people privately. I won't call out people on air, but
yeah,
Mike, go ahead.
If you pick it and I'm going to add to this,
please.
If you pick a fighter who has been match made for, and the fight was first reported by MMAfighting.com, you get two doo-doo points. So I'm just putting that out there. Chris London, not a great card, but I'm here to gamble and match make. Gambling went well. Let's make some matches. Spivak versus Lewis, put it on the 12-10 card for three rounds. Maybe. As of right now, there is a hole in the card. Cameron Simon was supposed to fight Ronnie Lawrence. Ronnie Lawrence will not be fighting on that card. There's no opponent found for Cameron Simon as of yet. So if they don't find one, maybe you could throw that one on there instead. But that fight, there's so many fights in that card. I just don't know if it happens, but we'll see. Enzichukwu versus Volkan Ozdemir, AK. Are we ready to go that route?
Yeah, so I'll just say this now. The one I saw the most, and I'm sure you'll read some of these out, Enzichukwu versus Dustin Jacoby. That seemed to be the most popular pick. But I did see an Ozdemir option in there, and it had me, I'm like, okay. Ozdemir just lost to Krylov, right?
Yes.
So it kind of makes sense. Ozdemir is a ranked guy, too. He's still, I think, top 15. Pretty sure he's in the top 15 of our rankings. I know I was keeping him in there for a while. Yeah, if you want to go in the ranked direction, Arreaz is a good choice, and Ozdemir is a good choice. Okay, yeah, I don't hate it.
High Stand versus Alatenge Lee, Ricky Tercios, Dana Batgari, Morales, Trevin Jones, Miles Johns, Tony Gravely, Jennifer Maya, Casey O'Neill, Charles Johnson, Malcolm Gordon, Andre Fialho versus Pete Rodriguez. Jeez Louise. Pete beats Mike Jackson. Now we're going to throw him in with Andre Fialho in just like seventh pro fight. You're insane. But okay. Salikov versus D-Rod. You've redeemed yourself. Chase Sherman versus Mo Usman. What do you think about this one, AK? Waldo Cortez Acosta. Because we've been waiting for 2 years to try to find the right matchup for this guy. Versus Walt Harris.
Oh, I think I say Juan Espino. Yeah, I got that as well from someone on Instagram just called Steven. No, not our own Steven Morocco, I don't think. Just Steven, no last name. And it raised my eyebrows, Mike. I said, yeah, I like it. It's a fight that I feel like even if Walt Harris loses, I don't think we'd be sad unless it was like a super devastating knockout. But again, we haven't seen if Cortez Acosta can pull one of those off at the UFC level. So I don't mind it at all. I don't mind it at all. And for anyone who saw, there was an update sort of in the Walt Harris, case is on. We reported on MMAfighting.com. The suspect in the Anaya Blanchard, you know, his stepdaughter, her death, has been indicted. So, you know, still a lot more to do in that case, but hopefully Walt Harris and his family can find some sort of justice. And, we do get to see Walt Harris fight at least one more time. I don't know where he is in his career, how much longer he wants to keep fighting, but it would be a nice moment to see him fight again. And Cortez Acosta, tough opponent, but you know, maybe Walt Harris beats him, goes out in a win. It would make us all feel good, I think.
Yes. John Ray, that flyaway fight was some of the most insane fun I've ever had. It was so dumb. LOL. Johns versus Gravely, Maya versus the Cortez Hibas winner, JDM versus Randy Brown, winner gets a ranking, Salikov versus the Lawler Ponzinibbio winner, old guy fights, WCA versus Jake Collier, Enzichukwu versus Mirzakhanov, Spivak versus Ivanov. So we're moving on, I guess, because he likes Lewis versus Rosenstrike, winner lose against Christakis. Dylan Danis versus Hasbullah at Power Slap. No, Dylan Danis is apparently boxing KSI. What the frick, dude?
That's just doo-doo all around. Not just for the person who made that pick, not knowing that that Dylan Danis is fighting, but just for that fight existing. That's just...
Ben, Kennedy Enzichukwu versus Mirzakhanov, another one. WCA versus Chris Barnett could be a banger. Salikov versus Morono. JDM versus Max Griffin, nice vet test. Charles Johnson versus Jay Cadley. Gerard, Enzichukwu versus the OSP Linz winner, Kuchalaba to the PFL. Not a bad idea.
Has Linz stepped in for Gus?
He's fighting OSP, yeah.
He at stepped least... in for Gus.
Yes.
Okay. I actually
Gus is out.
Okay. I was not aware of that. I knew Gus was out. I did not know they had found a replay. All right, great. Cool.
WCA versus Martin Boudet. Salikov versus Jeremiah Wells. JDM versus Chaos Williams in Perth. Jennifer Maya, Aaron Blanchfield, Ricky Tercios versus the Marcelo Rojo Francis Marshall winner, Miles Johns, Johnny Munoz, Vanessa Demopoulos, Ariane Carnelosi. Let's go to Toby. Do we have anything new here? Kuchalaba versus Prachnio, Acosta versus Arlovsky. I feel like that's going to be a popular one as we move on here. I feel like maybe the Arlovsky test happens.
Yeah. I don't know if it's next. It'll happen.
Salikov, Wells, Fialho, Brian Battle. Don't mind that one. That's not bad. JDM versus D-Rod, Danny Roberts, Tim Means, Johnson Durden, Zalgas Esteban, Maya Araujo. Let's go to the winners here. John's Alatone.
Maya Araujo is one of those fights. I got a lot of that too. One of those fights I swore has happened. It's not, I don't think it's even been, but I think it's just, I think they fought a lot of the same opponents. I think they've been in the same orbit and like in the same, around the same spot in the rankings. I'm surprised that they have not fought each other. So I'm so down to make that happen.
Tercios, Johnny Munoz, Demopolis.
That would be so fun.
Yeah. Demopolis versus Viana, Highstand versus Blackshear, Silva versus Jillian Robertson. There you go. Tino, Natalia Silva versus Molly McCann, spinning back kick versus spinning back elbow AK. What do you think about that idea?
Who sent you this? Is this someone who also sent to me?
Tino.
Is this? Tino Alvarez. Okay. He doubled up. He double dipped. Okay.
Oh, boo.
That's fine. No, that's fine. I just,
there's going to be doo doo in here. I can already feel it. Cause you're,
there is Mike, but you hold on. Okay. Let's, Tino, you're getting some extra air time today. So I did have the chance to look over Tino's picks before. Now, Mike, you said double doo-doo for a fight that was reported by MMA Fighting First.
And I'm looking right at it.
Hold on. No, please. Before you, I see you have two handfuls of doo-doo right now. Before you fling them in Tino's direction, I will say, because I always tell people, check Tapology. Like, that's like kind of the go-to, check Tapology. It is not up there on Tapology yet.
Okay.
He's checking now for anyone. Mike is checking now. Because I saw this come up and I'm like, I'm pretty sure Tyson Nam is fighting and I didn't see it. And I'm like, where did I hear that? And I'm like, oh, that's right. My best friend broke that news on MMAfighting.com. So Mike, I leave it up to you. You can fling that doo-doo at Tino. But again, I have to take some responsibility because I do tell people to check Tapology. I have a feeling that is what Tino did. And Tapology, for whatever reason, amazing website. I think, again, right up there with Sherdog is the best database in the game. Has not added that fight yet. So,
all right,
Mike, mercy.
I'm gonna take half of one of the doo-doo piles and put it in a bag, and I'm gonna light it on fire and ring your doorbell. Okay, so I'm not gonna flick both at you. You still have to step on a half of a pile of doo-doo.
Tyson. I don't even know if we just explained that what happened there. Tyson
Nam versus Charles Johnson was the pick. Fighting Bruno Silva.
Okay,
it's first reported by myself and Damon Martin.
Okay.
So no double doo-doo, but you do get a flaming little bag on your doorstep. Silva McCann, do you like this matchup?
I don't like it. I don't like it. I was fine with Blanchfield, Molly McCann. You were as well. Because, you know, we're very high on Aaron Blanchfield. We're very high on Natalia Silva as well. But I think for Molly McCann, the next thing for her is a London card against a, not a prospect, against someone that's a much more, that's lower in the rankings, that you know is favorable. This is what you
against
do
against her opponent. Teresa Blaza would be better.
Sure, there you go, Teresa Blaza, right? This is what you do with McCann. You have her win big. She's a star over in the UK. You have her win big fights. Hopefully, get more exciting knockouts. I mean, again, that was her London appearances have been the perfect storm so far, as far as boosting her popularity. And then when you want to bring her back to Las Vegas or Madison Square Garden, then you match her up with a Natalia Silva or whatever. So you got to keep building her back up. She has that star power, right? Where, so you keep that viable. Don't worry about building her up as a contender. Like, again, if she had beaten Aaron Blanchfield, sure, we could talk about it. She didn't come close. Aaron Blanchfield's a great fighter. No disrespect to Molly McCann. So I don't like the idea of throwing in there with another blue chipper like Natalia Silva. Not yet anyway. Again, let's build up Natalia Silva some more. Let's rebuild Molly McCann some more. And then, you know, then this is a big matchup somewhere down the road.
Yeah. Molly McCann is the Derek Lewis of the UFC women's divisions. It doesn't matter. Rankings don't matter. Titles don't matter. It's just Molly's on a poster and we're excited. We want to see her fight and we want to see her win. Wins and losses don't matter. We want her to win more, but... And you could use her name for the Aaron Blanchfields of the world. I just don't understand why. I know Ariel and some others were against the matchmaking, but it's just, why? Why are you against the matchmaking? It's perfect. Makes perfect sense, but we're not here to get into that. Demopolis versus Tabitha Ricci, Tercios versus Kyung Ho Kang on the Seoul Fight Night card. Miles Johns, Johnny Munoz again. Johnson, Tyson Nam. We already talked about that. JDM versus Abubakar Nurmagomedov on the Perth card. Jack continues to be the Dagestanian hunter.
Has he not only, I did look at this message before. Has he not only fought one Dagestani guy? Am I not mistaken? Just Ameev, I think. Unless there was before the UFC. Unless before the UFC, did he knock off some notable Dagestani fight? You need to. If you want to start a run as the Dagestani hunter, that's fine. But he is not continuing. He's one guy so far. It's one guy.
Kennedy Inciuchu versus Dustin Jacoby. We talked about that in WCA versus Nascimento. Let's go to Marcus, UFC 281. Pereira versus Prochazka if he defeats Teixeira. Adesanya versus Khamzat Chimaev for the interim title. I hate both of those ideas, so I'm not even going to react to those. Check the tapes. Thiago Moises versus Guram Kutataladze. So I will... Those are just two random names in the mix. So I'm just going to give you the point. I'm going to believe you on this.
Hold on. Let me also give a point. I just searched my database when I was keeping a better track of these. MMA Heads, who I have not heard from in a while. Also, probably because I've been so bad at giving out points. MMA Heads, if you're out there, you can take this point as well.
Okay. As far as this card goes, Enshichuku Mirzakhanov, Cortez Acosta, Andrei Arlovski, Salikov, Jack Della Maddalena.
No.
No? Okay.
Not yet. No, don't just do the winners thing with these two guys. They're in totally different points in their careers.
And Natalia Silva versus Marina Moreau. So,
yeah, sure.
Let me take a deep breath. Because every time I click this guy's name, it could be the last time we click his name for a while. Dad Jackson. Does he live to matchmake another week? Let's click and find out. Natalia Silva versus Priscilla Cachuera. Ricky Tercios versus Guido Canetti. Jack Della Maddalena versus Muslim Salikov in Perth. In parentheses, easy pick, I know. Cortez Acosta versus Muhammad Usman. Enzichuku versus Khalil Roundtree. Dad Jackson, you're still alive. There you go. So I'm done, AK. On to you.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. You're hanging around. You're being a little more meticulous. You're not just ripping six shots of Jaeger before you pick one fight at a time. You actually put all these in as one message. So we're getting better, Dad. We're getting better. Go ahead, my best friend.
All right. Well, I just had a live exchange with our pal Tristan Gordet on email. I let him know. He mentioned Enzichuku versus OSP. I was not aware that OSP already had a replacement opponent. So Tristan now says, still have OSP face Enzichuku win or lose. If OSP gets destroyed, OSP may not be in the UFC much longer. Oh, gets destroyed by Enzichuku. Yeah, that's certainly possible. So so OSP win or lose against Felipe Blins versus Kennedy Enzichuku. That's fine. GDM versus Brian Battle. I like the idea of slow rolling Maddalena, but I think Battle's quite a bit behind him. And I like Brian Battle a lot, but I think JDM at this point will just like annihilate him. But I guess if you want to put on a show in Perth, but again, I guess maybe I'm a fan of Brian Battle, so I don't want to necessarily see him being put forth as like that.
Yeah, they're not going to put those two guys together.
Yeah, no, yeah. I like him. I don't want to see him as that sacrificial lamb in Australia. Silva versus Melissa Gatto, and just wants you to know, Tristan says he's also very high on Natalia Silva, Mike. So you guys are riding that Natalia Silva bandwagon. I think a lot of people are after Saturday night. She's definitely one of the more talked about names. Got herself a bonus. Jay Donaghy, the Poconos picker. Let me see if there's anything different here. A lot of these we've seen before. And I want to talk again about Jay suggested a ref stoppage segment. He said maybe just make a poll because a robbery review involves at minimum 15-minute review. Ref review would only require you to rewatch end sequence, does not leave room for much debate. That's what you think, is the MMA world. There's always room for debate. We could have 100 different angles of something. Clear angles of something and play in the slowest of slow motion, and still two people would disagree on it. I also had another content idea of giving the fight card a 3 stars category. This would be an opportunity to highlight the night's 3 best fights. I mean, you kind of have for us, obviously, not the UFC. We could kind of do that, but it's, I don't know, so much happens like on a fight card. It's like breaking it down to like one number doesn't make sense. You might have a card with like 5 stars, you might have a card with only really 1 star. Sometimes the performance bonuses are really accurate and sum it up. But anyway, Jay, thank you for the content suggestions. We always appreciate them and frankly always need them in this industry. So I really appreciate it. Going to Instagram here, Beans Extreme Memes. And Enzichuku versus Maxim Grishin. Sure, maybe. Yeah, actually, I was gonna say a notch below some of the names we've suggested, but Charles Johnson versus Tim Elliott. Beans says that's a big jump, but Johnson is too old for flyweight, to wait around. He's not like super old. He's like 31, isn't he?
Oh, Charles?
Like old Charles Johnson. He's like old.
Yeah, he's not like
he's not super old.
Yeah.
Also, Tim Elliott is injured, so he'll have to wait around anyway. So I don't know if that makes sense. But I do love Ricky Tercios versus Willie Cat, Daniel Santos. That's an awesome pick.
Sure.
James Sherwood, Mike Honeyfield and Sichuku versus Carlos Ulberg?
No.
No? You're not sold on Ulberg yet? Too high?
It's too high.
It's too high?
Yeah, there's other ways to get both guys over, and I think Ulberg's pretty over right now. To throw him in there with Inchichuku. Plus, they fought already, and Inchichuku knocked him out.
Oh, he did. How did I forget that? That was Ulberg's second fight, or his first
fight?
That was his first.
That wasn't that long ago.
Wow, a little doo-doo for me. Sprinkle a little doo-doo on my plate, guys. I'm going to have lunch soon. You can sprinkle a little doo-doo on there. I totally forgot about that. I got to look it up. UFC 259, March 2021. So, Beans, is this Beans or is this James? This is James Sherwood. Doo-doo for both of us, my friend. I'm sorry. We should have, I should have remembered that. Yeah, that did sound familiar. And for that, I will not read the rest of it. Also because of some of these picks I've already made. And I'm also going to pass over a lot of Ricky Tercios, Brady Houston picks, just because a lot of people pick the same guys for both of them. Which makes sense. They're both the Ultimate Fighter. Tercios beat Heist in the finals. They're kind of in the same range of opponents. So I saw a lot of like Tercios versus Anheliger or Brady Houston versus Chad Anheliger. Okay, fine. Though I will say one more from James. Mike, what do you think of Houston fighting the Raul Rosas Jay Perrin winner, UFC 282?
Interesting. I don't hate it.
Okay. Yeah, that might be the right test for Rosas if Rosas gets past Perrin. Let's jump. Oh man, again, some of them. Yeah, just Tino Alvarez. Jay Steiner, a Otno original. And Zichuku versus Mirzakhanov. Kuchalaba versus Reyes, Mike. Does that tickle your fancy at all?
That's fine, but I don't like Zichuku needs the Reyes rub, I think. Kuchalaba doesn't. You know what I mean? Like Kuchalaba is just who he is.
Losing to Kuchalaba would definitely kind of let us know, like, okay, this is it. Either I think he loses to either of those guys. It's like, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Thank I think you that's like heart. Too far yeah. a step back.
Della Maddalena versus Chaos Williams. I actually like that matchup a lot. Catalano messaging me. I ain't got much to say for Otno except Don Giacomo against the Leech in is Jack Della Maddalena Don Giacomo? I guess. Have you heard of this before?
I have not.
Okay, Don Giacomo against Li Xinglang in Perth. Let's go. All right. Thank you, Catalano.
Okay.
Sure. That's a big jump up. But again, he's looked freaking amazing in his fights so far. All right, I'll hop over to Twitter now. Let's close the show with Twitter. Chris at Dragon Slayer 2, Miles Johns versus Tony Gravely. I feel like this has been suggested like 100 times. I feel like I thought this fight already happened. Somehow it hasn't. UFC, please make this a reality so I can stop talking about it. Matt Canaday, this is a message directly for you, Mike. Matt Canaday says, prospect versus prospect, Della Maddalena versus Ian Garry.
No.
He called it the Mike Heck special. I don't know if he's...
It's not a Mike Heck special.
I think he's being... I assume this is sarcasm. This is new. This is trolling. You're getting trolled.
No. Ian Garry's far behind JDM. Like, JDM's ready. JDM's ready. Ian Garry is not quite there. Like beating, who was his last win? Who was Ian's last win? Was that 276?
Not Darian Weeks. That was his first fight, right?
That wasn't his first fight. That was 273. Was Gabe Green?
Gabe Green.
Oops, so he beat Jordan Williams, Darian Weeks, and Gabe Green.
Okay. That was the first, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to do a little more.
Okay, I agree. I don't love it. I just wanted to know if this person was trolling you, which was what I said.
Yeah, this fight could be... those two guys are going to fight each other. And it's going to be big when they do. But it's a couple years away.
Barry O'Reilly comes in with Demopoulos versus Loopy, sure. Miles Johns versus Javid Bashtret. I like that a lot. I think that's the right test for both guys.
Demopoulos Loopy? A rematch? Did he say
did
rematch?
Did they fight? He did not. Did they fight as well?
For the LFA strawweight title.
Oh, they did. Oh, see, I'm off as well. Oh, well, there you go. Barry, listen. We gotta check these. Yeah. October 2020, LFA 94. Demopoulos lost the LFA strawweight title to Loopy. Oh man. He did write a comment. Nope, did not recognize the rematch shift. Okay, all right. Well, listen, Barry, neither did I. Cortez Acosta versus Dontell Mays, sure. Sean Haywood. I said I wasn't gonna read too many of these, but Tercios versus Tony Gravely. I think Tony Gravely would. I like Ricky Tercios a lot. I think bantamweight's a pretty deep division. There's a lot of good options for him in the lower tier. I think a guy like Tony Gravely would smoke him. Maybe I think too highly of Tony Gravely. I don't know, but.
Not bad.
Okay. Gravely smokes him, though. I think Tony Gravely's really, really, really good. Like, I think in another division, he's like a top 15 guy. I think he just happens to be in like the second or third toughest division in all of MMA. Cortez Acosta versus Bozer. Thank you, Sean. Four Corner Sports NY. Kuchalaba versus Crute. A Crute Menafield loser. Okay, no Enzachuku pick, I don't think. Interesting. Or maybe I missed it. It was already Enzachuku Jacoby. What else we got here? Tercios versus Guido Canetti. I agree. I love it. Okay, I'm moving on. Adam McDonald. Maddalena versus Randy Brown. I love the matchup. I just think Randy Brown deserves a ranked guy at this point, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to throw him in there with a killer who, if he beats, like in our eyes and our eyes, the hardcore fans might boost him up a little bit, but won't make like actually bump him up in the rankings because I would think Madeline's behind him.
It's interesting.
Demopoulos versus Pierre Rodriguez. I like it. And Natalia Silva versus Agapova. I think Adam is seeking another highlight for Natalia Silva. With respect to Agapova.
Yeah.
Francesca, our man in Italy, loves Salikov versus Daniel Rodriguez. Della Maddalena versus The Leech. And Charles Johnson, Cody Durden. Yeah, that'd be a fun one. Just the last few here. Let's see. Hey, and these ones I have not had the chance to screen, so hopefully they're doo-doo free. Hayes Bathurd, who I mentioned before, he got himself a point. Cortez Acosta, dude has a unique style for heavyweight. Go with Parker Porter next. Parker Porter doesn't have a fight.
Parker Porter is booked.
That's what I thought.
Parker Porter is booked. Who the hell is he fighting?
Justin Tafa, UFC 284. Yes, yes. Hayes Bathurd, come on.
That is a
straight doo doo pick. I'm trying to see if they can do a condition. Oh, Hayes, you're so much better than this. Tercios, Trevin Jones, sure. I'm assuming Trevin. Now all these picks are suspects. Now I feel like I'm tiptoeing around on doo doo, but I'm pretty sure Trevin Jones does not have. I already have some on my plate, like I said. Anyways, thank you, Hayes. Enjoy your point. You know what? This is a rare week where someone gets a point and also a serving of doo doo. So, congratulations on that one. Marcus McGahey calls this the killer knee in Zachuku edition, aka the yeah, I don't think I can say that nickname edition. Oh, that's true. What is I agree. This is it's like the Black Beast. It's like it just feels a little uncomfortable to be saying it. But hey, it's Kennedy's chosen nickname, so if he likes it, he likes it. Enzachuku versus OSP Lin's winner, sure. Waldo Mo Usman. Oh, has this come up, Mike? Salikov and Luque.
It is not, but I like it.
What do you think of JDM and Luque?
I love it.
Man, that would be nuts.
I think Jack would win. Crazy. I think Jack would knock him out.
That would be freaking crazy. I think Jack would knock him out. I think Jack Della Maddalena can knock out anyone.
Yeah, he's so
on the right day, man. He can. I'm not picking up to be like Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman, or those like tomorrow. But I'm saying you give this guy the right seasoning. He's absolutely world title contender material. And yeah. Who knows? Maybe a world champion someday.
Yeah, probably be a four division champion.
All right. Thank you, Marcus. I can't read all of these. Was Thomas Collins. You want Kuchelaba to BKFC. Oh, well, the problem is a lot of the success he's had in the UFC is with his grappling. We know he can throw. He can definitely throw. He has power in his hands, but he hasn't had a lot of success lately throwing with people, so I don't know if that's such a good idea. Salakov, Michelle Pereira. This came up a bunch of times. They were booked, I think, January last year, not this year, January last year. And it is a shame we lost that one. So I would love to see that remade. And I'm a fan of a few said this one as well. Maya Miranda Maverick. I'm a fan of that one as well. Thank you, Thomas Collins. And I think we're gonna wrap with Adam McDonald. Madalena versus Randy Brown, Charles Johnson, Alta Murano, Kennedy and Dustin Jacoby. For jokes only, I guess coming off 281. Dominic Reyes, Sam Alvey. Yeah, you know what? That's the right test for both guys. I wonder how much they have left. I agree. And they said, thanks for the whole team, as always. Always listening to the podcast network. Appreciate the consistent work you guys do. Thank you, Adam. So going on a positive note there, Mike.
Yes. I'm not sure what next week's going to look like in terms of shows.
Yeah. Because American Thanksgiving.
We have American Thanksgiving. Heck of a morning. We'll do Tuesday. We're definitely not doing Thursday. Probably do Friday because we got to get you ready for that $50 PFL pay-per-view that everyone's so excited about. BTL will probably just be like a recorded pod, just recapping everything and talking about the $50 PFL pay-per-view. But as far as this show goes, no show next Sunday or next Monday, whenever this thing drops. But we'll be back in 2 weeks because we got some good ones coming up. We got UFC Orlando, that is next on the slate, headlined by Stephen Thompson, Kevin Holland. We got RDA versus Brian Barberena, Mateus Nicolau versus Matt Schnell, Tai Tuivasa, Sergey Pavlovich, Derek Brunson versus Jack Hermanson, Eric Anders, Kyle Daukaus, Nico Price is back against Phil Rowe, Angela Hill versus Emily Ducote.
We got a lot of ranks. We got a lot of ranked action on this card. Seven or eight ranked fighters.
Sick. Clay Guida, Scotty Holtzman, that's going to be fun. Michael Johnson, Mark Jacasey, Darren Elkins versus Jonathan Pierce, Tracy Cortez, Amanda Hibas, Natan Levy versus Gennaro Valdez, Francis Marshall versus Marcelo Rojo, and Yasmin Yurgay is back against Estella Nunes. So this card is tremendous. This is a far cry from UFC Vegas 65 on paper, and we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk all about that. And then it's onwards and upwards to UFC 282, the final pay-per-view event of the year, headlined by the rematch between Jiří Prochazka and Glover Teixeira for the light heavyweight championship of the world. So we are done. If this is the last, if you're going on vacation for Thanksgiving, we wish you a happy holiday week. And we appreciate all of your support and listening to the shows. Back in 2 weeks right here on to the next one, the podcast. Always remember, don't take this stuff too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.